Good morning, church. I am excited to be here with you today. We're kicking off our Advent series. Christmas is in the air. There's decorations up in the church. Are the decorations up in your home? Good. Good for you. And wherever you're at, good for you. Who's listening to Christmas music? Who's been listening to Christmas music for weeks? Not entirely, but you know, you've been throwing it on here and there. I know you know who you are. I love it. I love the Christmas season. I love the decorations. My favorite part is I love going to look at all the lights people put on their houses. And so even years ago, I worked out of a church in Chino. And so out past Chino and Pomona, there's this whole neighborhood where basically if you ever bought a house in there, you agreed to put thousands upon thousands of lights on your house. Otherwise, you don't get to move in. It's the best neighborhood ever. So I love it. But we're here, we're kicking off our Advent season right now, and if you know about Advent, I looked it up, Advent has this idea, the meaning of, this inaugural, you're expecting an event to take place, so you're waiting for that event to happen, or you're awaiting the arrival of a very important person. And so that's what Advent in the church is, it's this expectation of the Messiah coming in, and it really looks back to Israel and how they long for their Messiah to come and be a part of their world. And so that's what we're going to be looking at is the next 4 weeks, and we'll be lighting our candles along the way. What I want you to see today, what we're going to talk about today, just the whole Advent series, is that the birth of Jesus makes our life full. And so that's kind of our theme for the next 4 weeks is full, that God wants to make your life full. Amen? And so I'm excited for where God's going to take us and things he's going to teach us and how he wants to grow us as we go through this Advent season. I was on the On the Instagram the other day, and I use my time wisely, so I just want you to know that. And this video popped up, and I was intrigued because this man comes up on the video, and I know you can't believe everything you see on Instagram or the internet. I'm smart like that, but he comes up and says something along the lines of this: "Here's a bit of trivia that you didn't know." And I was like, "Oh, I'm intrigued already because like I think I know everything, but go, like you know, bedazzle me." And so he went on to talk about the ocean. And that the ocean, depending on what graph you look at, there's like three different zones or five different zones of the ocean in different layers. And so he was talking about what is referred to as the aphotic zone. And so that starts at 1,000 meters, which doesn't mean anything to Americans, I get it. So that's about 3,300 feet and below. 3,300 feet and below is the aphotic zone. Or it's called the midnight zone, or let me get the scientific, bathypelagic zone. So you know, so if you're ever on Jeopardy, you can get an answer. And so 1,000 meters and below. And at 1,000 meters and below, the sunlight does not reach that area. It doesn't hit that at all. In fact, most people will tell you that after 200 meters, which is about 660 feet, sunlight does not make much of an impact in the ocean at all. But at 1,000 meters, it's gone. It's gone. It's dark. And so there's all these things that happen. And so I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And I'm like, well, let me look this up and make sure that he's right, you know, because these guys don't always tell the truth. And so he's right. And I'm reading through it and I'm learning all these things. But here's this bit of information for today. The ocean makes up about 71% of the earth. Yeah. The aphotic zone and below makes up 90% of the ocean. So here's your trivia for today. 64% of our earth is in complete darkness all of the time. And that's aphotic. If you know your Greek or Latin, a means without, photo is light, so aphotic, it's without light. 64% of our planet is in complete darkness all of the time. That is crazy. I was like, wow. And there are some fish and there are some plants that can survive down in those zones. Even when you get to the deepest zone, and I don't even understand how this works because it's like billions of pounds of pressure of water on you. It's at 0 degrees. It's freezing at the bottom of the ocean. I thought, it shouldn't be boiling because of all the volcanoes down there, but, you know, I still have things to learn. And so it goes through all these things. Some things can live down there, but you and I, we would cease to exist in that environment. When you take light away from humanity, we would cease to exist. And here's why. Work through it with me. If there were no sunlight, and I'm not talking about seeing light, I'm not talking about sight light, just the sunlight. If there was no sunlight, plants would not grow, which means we would lose a food source in plants, right? But if plants aren't growing and they're not producing a food source, animals are not getting a food source. And so our other form of food, animals, if you eat meat, which is delicious, if you don't, good for you, we will lose animals as a source of food. Not only would we lose plants as a source of food and animals as a source of food, photosynthesis would cease to exist, meaning the air that you and I breathe would not exist much longer. And on top of that, I know it's like, this is like Merry Christmas, doomsday. And on top of that, I'm not Eeyore, I promise, when you go down to that, when there's no light, our planet's going to freeze. There's no way that you and I can exist without light. In the same way, Jesus is light. He's the true light. He's full of light. And he comes into our lives to illuminate our lives, to fill us with light, but to direct us back to the Father. And so this morning is we're going to light our first Advent candle. I know it's like the Advent candle isn't about light. There's 25 different meanings of what these candles can mean. So we're going to make it up as we go. Is everyone okay with that? We're going to light this first candle in remembrance, as we talk about our Advent and our expectation, that Jesus, as the true light, is coming into the world. And that you and I were actually desperate for that light. We need it more than you know. We need it more than ever. And so that's what I want to talk about today as we talk about light. I want to talk about the importance of Jesus' light in our lives, and then how God can use that light in our lives for his purposes. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. And the bottom line is this, if you're a note taker, I just want to know, if you want the darkness to leave, then you must get into the light. If you want the darkness to leave, you've got to get yourself into the light. And so that's what we'll be just kind of looking at is how do we get in the light? How does the light come to us? And what do we do about it? If you wouldn't mind standing with me as we read this morning. If you can, if you can't, I understand, and that's all right. We're going to be reading from John chapter 1 to start out this morning. And this is what the apostle writes. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. In the beginning, the Word already existed. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. And God created everything through him. And nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, Jesus, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And he came into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Let's pray together, church. Lord God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word that teaches us and leads us. And God, even as we sit in this season of Christmas and season of Advent, I pray that we would have this eager expectation and desire for you in our lives. I pray that starts even now, that God, we would see you as a source of light, that we would see our desperate need for that. Lord, that we would hunger and thirst for that. And Lord, that even today you would fill us with these things. Lord, this is your time. I pray that you are honored and glorified. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. I really love the passage of John that we read, but it's not your traditional Christmas story, right? There's no star, there's no Bethlehem, there's no angels, there's no shepherds, there's no wise men, there's not even a Joseph and Mary in the story. And we can look at the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and we will during the week, that's the Christmas story. But John tells a Christmas story a little bit different, and I love how he does. In the beginning was the Word, which is Jesus, and he was with God, but he also was God. But Jesus left that and became human. And it says the true light was coming into the world. And it shines in the world to extinguish the darkness. The darkness doesn't understand it, but that doesn't matter. The light is coming into the world and still shines on us. That's the Advent. That's the birth of Jesus. We just sing, light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see. Jesus, the true light, is coming into the world. And he brings his light to everyone. But not everyone understands it. And not everyone receives it. And I think of all the things that Jesus could be referenced as. The Word, yes, that's great. Creator, yes, that's... But light. And how valuable and how important light is. And so I love this idea when we think about Jesus. That he doesn't just come as a baby. He doesn't just come as a man. He doesn't just come to give his life on the cross for us. He doesn't just come to do miracles. He comes as life and light. Amen? So that's what I want to talk about today. And so I want to look at the importance of Jesus' light. And so just kind of our first point today is this, that light illuminates. I know you're sitting there thinking, Pastor, that's about the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard anyone say. Like, that's the most obvious statement I've ever heard anybody make. Light illuminates? Like, duh. Hear me out, because light does illuminate, but it illuminates. Jesus illuminates in several different ways in our life. And that's what I want to talk about as we look through Scripture, of three specific purposes of how Jesus as a light shines in our life. All right, you with me? First one is this, and you can take notes or not take notes, that the light guides us. Light guides us to things. It tells us where we need to go. Think about different ways, God bless you, that we can use light as a guide. When you go on airplanes, and I've been going on airplanes more frequently lately, and if you listen to the speech they tell you in the middle, which most of us aren't, but if you do, they tell you that if there's an emergency, there will be lights that light up on the ground and also along the top to lead you to the evacuation door so you can get out of the plane if it crashes. Never mind, you'll probably be dead already, but the lights will come on so you know how to get out if you're still alive. The light guides you to the exit so you can get to safety. We line our homes, and if we have a walkway, we put lights on there. We put a porch light telling people this is where you would come into our house. We're guiding them on how to get into our house. Exit signs are usually illuminated. Not here, but you can see the door, so we're good. But in other places, exit signs are illuminated. They light up to tell you, if you need to get out of here, this is where you do it. This is where you come to go. Road construction signs with the arrows that light up and blink over are telling you, you need to move this way. They're guiding you to the safe spot on where to drive. Light, as an illuminating force, guides us to safety and guides us to a certain destination and gets us there safely. That's its purpose. Jesus, as a light for us, is showing the way back to God. Jesus' purpose in coming down was to show us who the Father was and to bring us back into a right relationship with God. And he's kind of shining this light, guiding people along the way. This is where you need to go. This is where you need to come. God loves you. There's this great plan for you. He's made a future for you, but you've got to come this way. And he's got those cone lights or whatever. He's shining the way. Jesus' purpose in coming wasn't just to forgive our sin. It was to forgive our sin so that we can have that right relationship with God again. And so he comes as this light to light the way for us. This way to the Father. This way to him. If you remember during their Lord's Supper, and I think John, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this. I'll put the verse up on the screen. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Philip, have I been with you all this time, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him? Jesus, as light, is guiding us to the Father. He's showing us. He's illuminating. What is God really like? Read the Gospels and read about who Jesus is and what he said and what he did, and then you'll know exactly what God is like. Because Jesus is illuminating who God is and guiding us back to the Father. That's his purpose. Philip, have I been with you this whole time and you still don't get it? You still don't see where I've been leading you? God's word works the same way, doesn't it? Psalm 119, 105, he writes this. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, your word leads me and guides me to the best place for me. Jesus, as the light, leads us and guides us to the best place for you, back to Father God. So Jesus is the light that guides us. What else does light do for us? Light warns us. Light warns us of things. Not only does it guide us where to go, sometimes it tells us where not to go. And there's an old story, and you've probably heard it, and it's between a naval ship and another vessel, and it goes something like this. The naval ship says, "Please divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision." And the other vessel says, "Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid collision." And then the ship comes back. "This is the captain of a Navy aircraft carrier. I say again, divert your course." And the other one says, "No, I say again, you need to divert your course. This is the USS Lincoln, second largest ship in the U.S. Atlantic Fleet, accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course. This is a lighthouse. I demand you change your course." Right? And for all intents and purposes, as fun as that story is, I think it's made up. I don't think our military really works like that. But people are making a story to tell you a point, and so I don't want to say this is true. I have no idea if it is or not. But sometimes lights are there to guide us. Other times lights are there to warn us. Don't come this way. Stay away from here. Back away and get back to safety. This is not the spot for you. Jesus, as a light, not only guides us to the Father, but he warns us about danger. He does things to keep us safe. The Sermon on the Mount, there's so many things that Jesus is in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. He's teaching people so many different ways of what it means to follow him and how to live to please God and things to do and things to look out for. And in Matthew chapter 5, we'll turn there real quick, verses 29 through 30. Says this: "So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your strongest hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." Now, is Jesus really telling us to mutilate our bodies? If anyone is teaching you that Jesus is really telling you to gouge your eye out or to cut your hand off, they are lying to you. That's not what Jesus is saying. But he's warning us. If you continue in sinful behavior, what good is that going to be for you? It is better to enter into heaven maimed than to go down the path that leads to hell. Warning. Look out. Stay away from these things. Jesus is the light that is guiding us to the Father, but he's also saying, move along, stay away from here. This is bad news. Jesus warns us all the time. He tells us of the dangers of chasing after and following after the things of the world. And just think about the Bible and some of the things that the Bible says. There's good things in the world. And we as humanity have a way of using those poorly. Eating is good. Amen? I love eating. But the Bible has something to say about gluttony, doesn't it? Rest is good. But the Bible has something to say about sluggishness and laziness. Having money is okay. But the Bible warns about being greedy and not being generous. Doing good things for others is a good thing. But the Bible also warns, don't do it so that you get pride and puffed up. Do it for God's glory, not for yourself. Sexual intimacy is a good thing, but it's intended to be used in the confines of a marriage relationship. And outside of that, be careful. There's warnings. There's a lot of good things that God has given us, but the Bible also warns of excessiveness of those things. Are we going to listen to Jesus as the light or not? So the light guides us, and the light warns us. And this is going to be the fun one. Light exposes. Kind of want to skip this section. You know, it's so fun writing this part. I had such a great time. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I was squirming a little bit in my seat as I was writing this, but this is the truth of who Jesus is and the truth of God's word. That, yes, Jesus will light the way and guide us to the Father. That Jesus will warn us of danger. But Jesus, as the light, also exposes our sin. And that's hard. We love John chapter 3, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever lives in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yay, right? We celebrate that. That's so good. And that's a guiding light. It guides us back to the Father. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish but have eternal life. That's guiding. But when we keep reading, it says this. Up on the screen, we'll have it. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. There's a warning light. Guiding light. Believe in me and you have eternal light. Warning light. If you don't believe in me, there's trouble ahead. And then the next verse. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. Ouch. Jesus, that's kind of... Did you have to go there? Can we just go with God so loved the world? I like God so loved the world. I'm okay that, you know, if we believe we're saved already and if we haven't, the warning, but all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear that their sins will be exposed. It reminds us that you and I were not perfect. We still have darkness in us. We still have sin in us that needs to be exposed. But think about it. The truth of this is when we go to commit a crime, or we go to do something sinful, we don't do it out in the open for everybody to see, do we? We go into a room, we close the doors. We hide in darkness. We think if we can hide ourselves in darkness and do this thing, nobody will ever know, and it'll be okay. But Jesus, as the true light, exposes all sin. Every one of us. Think about it this way. Think of this scenario that there's a crime that happens and a person breaks in somewhere and the police arrive. And so they start chasing the suspect and they run down the street to an abandoned warehouse at night. And it's all dark and none of the lights work and they run in there. And so the police, upon opening the door, they just simply jump in and just laugh and bounce around and think that everything's going to be okay. And they're just going to search through the darkness, right? Is that what police do? No, they get a flashlight. They get something so they can look through the darkness and expose where the perp, I said perp because it sounds cool to say that, they expose where the criminal might be so that they can arrest him. But they're using their light to expose anything that's dangerous in that building. Jesus is the true light coming in the world, guides us to the Father, warns us of danger, but he exposes our sin. And I think that's why the world so much fights against Christianity and wants to discredit the Bible and say that it's just made up and it's not true and it's just fairy tales, because they don't want to deal with the fact that they're sinful and they're not good enough and the truth that the light exposes their wrongdoing. And so the world fights against the truth of Christianity for that. I also think this, that there are many Christians who follow Jesus at a distance because they don't want to get too close for fear of having sins exposed. There are times that we keep Jesus at a distance because we're afraid of his light. Because you and I, we all have the ability to do evil, don't we? And I can tell you, I'm probably third. There's a couple other worst people in the... No, I'm kidding. I'm one of the worst. And I fight different things all the time. And even the other day, just looking through something and pride swelling up. I'm like, Lord, whoa, take this away. You got to work on... Help me with this. I don't want that pride. The good news is we read John 3:16. We read John 3:18 and 19 and 20. But please understand the beauty of John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Amen? Let me say that again to you. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. Is he the light? Yes. Does he expose our sin? Yes. Does he do it to condemn us? No. He does it to expose it, to know what the dangers are, so that he can come and set us free. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. That's the light of Jesus. Perfect love casts out fear. Don't be afraid when we talk about a verse that says Jesus as the light is exposing darkness and exposing our sin. Perfect love casts out fear. God loves you. He knew every sin that you were going to commit, that you're committing now, and the sins that you haven't even thought of yet. And he sent his son to die for you already. Amen? Perfect love casts out fear. Don't be afraid of the light that exposes the sin. Embrace it, because God is bringing you to a better place and he's setting you free from slavery to that sin. Light guides us and light warns us and light exposes us. But it's all that so God can set us free and bring us back into a relationship with him. And this is the beauty of the gospel message. That's why John chapter 3 is so good. Yay, you know, whoever believes won't perish. Yay, there's no condemnation that will be saved. Okay, like, you know, if some believe, you're there already. If not, it's okay that that light exposes sin, because I need that. Because if I'm going to allow God to transform me, I need him to shine his light on me to show me the areas that aren't up to his standard yet. So Lord, shine and help us. And I love the gospel message that God doesn't come to condemn us, but he comes to save us. And that light is here to guide you back to the Father and set you free. Amen. And so I don't want to end there. I want to end just with one more thing about light. Matthew chapter 5, going back to the Sermon on the Mount. And we're talking about light, and I love this. Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this. You are the light of the world. What did he say? You are the light of the world. Not I'm the light of the world. You, me, us, we are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. God transfers his light to us, and then he hides us under a bowl, right? Hide it under a bushel. Oh, no. It's an old Sunday school song. He doesn't hide us. He illuminates us with the life of his son, and then puts you on a stand for everyone to see, so that you can shine God's light to them. And you might be thinking, Jesus, I'm not good enough to be the light. So shouldn't you choose someone else to be the light? Someone else could be a better light for you, like that Billy Graham guy, right? Or Greg Laurie, right? He's still doing those Harvest Crusade things. That's a good light that's shining. What can someone like me do? What can someone that me, like, preaches in a small church or sitting in the pews in a small church? How can we shine your light effectively? It's not about you. It's about Jesus' light shining off of you. Amen? When you think back to when we talked about the ocean and the darkness of the ocean, I thought, well, if the ocean makes up 71% of what's on the earth, then 29% is land, right? Just do the math. Just trust me. Don't worry about it. And so if 29% is land, there's nighttime. There's daytime and there's nighttime. So in the nighttime then, half of that land, so let's just say 14%, is in darkness. And so it's not really that 64% of the earth is in total darkness all the time, but wouldn't it be 78%? No. Because what do you have at nighttime? Stars. And you've got the moon that's up there reflecting the light of the sun down onto us. Then are we ever in pitch darkness during the nighttime? No, there are lights that are shining for us. In the ocean, in the depths, there's not light. But for us, whether it's daytime or nighttime, God has things shining for us. You and I, church, we're meant to be light. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says this. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. You will have the light that leads to life. And you will be the light that guides other people to life. So as we end up talking about this Advent and being full of light, you and I can have moments of light in our lives, but it's Jesus who fills us with light. Amen? And he doesn't fill us with light for our arrogance or for our pride. He fills us with light so that we can do our good deeds before others, that they might see the goodness of God and come into a relationship with him. That just as Jesus, as the light, guides us back to the Father, you and I are there to reflect his light to guide people to the Father as well. And we do it through love, we do it through actions, we do it through words, we do it for just being present in people's life. And this Christmas, as we talk about being full of life and being full of light, go out there this Christmas, these next 4 weeks, and be the light for people that desperately need it. There's even people sitting in this room that you probably don't know right now are desperate for someone to shine light in their lives. Church, be the light. Shine Jesus' light. Love them, help them, encourage them, build them up and lift them up and get them to where they need to go so that they can find the Father and be healed. That's what Christmas is all about, sharing Jesus' light. I'm going to close with one verse. We'll put it up on the screen. And the band, you can come on up. Peter writes this: "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Friends, I pray that this Christmas season you embrace the light of Jesus, that you let him lead you and guide you. Pay attention to his warnings. Don't be afraid if he exposes sin, because it's for the means of setting you free from that so you can live more fully for God. We're going to move into a time of communion. And I think that's a good enough message of Jesus being the light for us to think about as we come to the communion table. As you come forward, the band's going to play. I'll say a prayer and then we'll have a time for you to come forward. There's a table here in the side over there and in the back corner over there if you want to partake of the Lord's Supper as we remember Jesus' death for us. And one more thing, as we talk about being the light, Bob Wilcox this morning dropped off. As you walk out, there's a table on the left and there's some Christmas cards and a list of the missionaries that we support. You want to know an easy way to be the light? Grab a card and write a note to one of those missionaries. Tell them you're praying for them. Tell them you love them. Encourage them. Write them a verse. I don't know. But be the light to them. Let's pray. God, I thank you. You are an amazing God. And Lord, as we talk about this Christmas and Advent season, we're reminded that you are the light. And God, we're desperate for that light. Without it, we run into a zone of darkness that's going to lead to our disaster. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for warning us. Thank you, God, even for the times that you expose sin in our lives, because it's to heal us and not condemn us. And then, God, help us to find ways to be that light, to shine to other people all around us, that they might believe in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.